A couple of years ago, a public educator named Victoria Gerges was showing a group of visitors around Flagstaff's Lowell Observatory. They were looking at a group of galaxies through a telescope.
We were all looking up at the sky, of course, because it was outside, and that's what you do at an observatory. You admire the night sky.
Then she noticed something.
Dots moving across the sky, and they were all like following each other in a line.
Gerges dashed to the telescope and took a picture, which would end up going viral on the internet. It captured the first ever launch of 60 Starlink satellites.
And you couldn't see any of the galaxies anymore. You could just see these bright diagonal lines going across the screen.
For many astronomers, that photo was a wake-up call that satellite constellations could be a problem. Jeff Hall is the director of Lowell Observatory.
I think everyone was caught off guard at how bright the satellites were, including SpaceX. They were a little taken aback, too, at just how bright they were.
Hall and other astronomers have been working with the company SpaceX to try to find solutions. Once the satellites reach their final orbit, they're just at the edge of human vision.
But for a major research telescope, that is blindingly bright, even for a smallish research telescope.
And there's so many of them. 100,000 new satellites are collectively planned by companies like SpaceX, Amazon, and OneWeb. All three companies declined or did not respond to KNEU's interview requests. Their intent is to bring internet to underserved rural areas like the Navajo Nation, a goal that's taken on new urgency since the pandemic. Matt Fowler is a Coconino County spokesperson.
And we have so many rural citizens in they're spread out in so many different areas that there is no other opportunities. You can't push microwave into some of these areas. You can't, run fiber or copper or any kind of infrastructure. So really, this is the only option.
More than half of communities on the Navajo Nation lack any broadband access, a stark inequity and a health risk during a pandemic when students couldn't log into online classes and people couldn't apply for jobs from home. But in Tuba City, 45 households now have internet thanks to a pilot program with Starlink. The homes were chosen because teachers, students, and first responders live there.
On the very first evening that we actually got the equipment on the ground at the household, we received, numerous phone calls of people, very emotional and crying.
This is the dilemma. How do you get desperately needed internet to rural areas while protecting the night sky? SpaceX is trying to darken their satellites, and Amazon will put its constellation in a low orbit to keep it out of sunlight for most of the night. These are voluntary actions by the companies, not mandated. John Barentine of the International Dark Sky Association says there aren't many rules to regulate space.
The core of this policy is from a time when the concern was who was going to get to the moon first. Was it going to be the U.S. or the Soviets?
He's referring to the Outer Space Treaty signed in 1967, when only a few dozen satellites had been successfully launched into orbit.
And I think it's putting pressure on this need to more clearly define the roles and responsibilities with respect to managing that sense of orbital space as this commons that belongs to all of us.
One research activity likely to be affected by satellite constellations is the search for asteroids that pose a threat to Earth. But Barentine also sees philosophical reasons for protecting the night sky.
There's a longing. There's a sense of connection to the cosmos that is deeply rooted within us, whether we consciously think about it or not.
Astronomers and representatives of satellite companies are meeting virtually this week to discuss ways to protect the sky in this new era they're calling the industrialization of space. For KNAU, I'm Melissa Siviny.